Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. And it's a Monday evening. And of course, Edwin is here with his latest rant if he doesn't get blown away. Hi, Edwin.
I'm still here, Martin. I'm still here. I've got the hang glider parked at the back in case we take off.
Probably won't need a hang glider. Windy, right?
And the roof's going to fly off. We'll just be tied up to it. Dusty on one end and Dusty and Evan on one end and Prince on the other end and me in the middle. So, how are things at? How are things your way?
Yeah, busy, a lot going on. Just been building the studio out. So I thought I might give you a quick sneak preview. There you go. That's the studio currently built. It's not complete yet, but it is sort of starting to get done. Got a few more things to do. And I've got none of the automation. So, you know, I used to be able to push a button and lots of things would happen. Well, none of that automation is working yet. So it's a bit of a manual clunky process. But at least we are now beginning to get ourselves sorted out. So that's good. And I guess we can do a live show tomorrow when I'll get you to come on and you can test the live system with me. And we can talk specifically about some of the broader issues. I thought we might also explore some of the recent case studies when you've been walking around and looking under roofs and, you know, in basements and talk about some of the things you've seen from a sort of surveying perspective, because I think that's a really interesting conversation. A lot of people have no idea what's below the waterline.
No, they've got no idea, and they fall for the look over here trick. Look at the shiny bench tops, the new shiny bench tops in the kitchen trick, right? And yeah. in the recently renovated bathroom. But yeah, who cares about the water that's ponding underneath the house that's actually eaten away at the sandstone foundations that you could basically the crumbling away. Who cares about that? It's only going to cost you $250,000 to rectify. But hey, there's a 40 millimeter new shiny bench top in the kitchen. Did I tell you about that, Martin? Yeah, now look.
Well, it is fascinating, Edwin. And I tell you what, I've been just doing a bit of renovating and things here in this house. You know, I got a full survey inspection, et cetera, et cetera. But it was quite interesting just taking off the old wallpaper and seeing what had been happening underneath. Nothing serious, but you'd sort of think, well, hang on a moment. You know, if I were making those repairs, I would have done them a little bit better. So it is interesting how once you go below the surface, you know, even on relatively good properties, you find the odd thing that's not quite where it should be. But if you look at properties that have been recently renovated in particular, so often what you find is that it's superficially okay, but below the waterline, there's just a hell of a lot going on. And of course, that's where the big bucks are.
Well, that's right. Look, if I'm going to do a renovation, as I'm helping my family at the moment and friends and also clients, if I'm doing a renovation, look, if I'm going to spend $100,000, I want $300,000 on the other end. Call me greedy, call me whatever you want to call me, but that's what you propose to get on the other end in terms of improvement to the building, right? And now, whereas when you're taking a property for sale, at the moment with the amount of FOMO that's out there and pent up, emotion and the bidding undercurrents that are going in there, all the emotional bidding undercurrents that are there. I mean, people are just throwing $20,000-$30,000 at a home, and they're making the $200,000-$300,000 on the other end because they're getting caught up with all the BS and all the, as I said, all the new shiny stuff, a lick of paint. And a cleanup basically, and bang, and then the agent just spins the yarn of how wonderfully it's been renovated and all that and this and that and this has happened and this has been done, blah blah blah, and the people are just not conscious of the fact that in a lot of these extensions, not even council approved. I mean, albeit or it's all good and well when you keep it underneath the roof line, do what you will, because most of the internal walls are just partition walls anyway. But when you start extending roof lines, and when you start getting rid of structural beams and load-bearing walls to extend out without council approval, that is when people are going to find themselves in a big mess should anything happen. As you said, Martin, it's what the old saying is looks good from far, but it's far from good.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you a little story. In my property down in Australia, I was able to punch through from the main studio into my machine room, right? Because basically all it was just two sheets of plasterboard, a little bit of padding in between, and it was a simple job: knife, cut a hole, put some cables through, right? So I've been trying to do the same here, and I discovered, interestingly, that all of my internal walls are actually solid concrete block, as well as the two layers of plasterboard, right? So I've got a major engineering task now to make the same sort of little hole as I made previously with just a sort of little cobby knife. It just shows you the difference of quality of construction.
Well, look, and this is something that I've been covering for years. I mean, I've posted something along the lines that you're referring to, you're talking about. And I mean, you're talking about internal walls, but we're talking about now party walls in duplexes, right? We basically went from a double layer of bricks, or two courses of bricks with a cavity in the middle, and then you've got the frame on the inside of each dwelling to basically accommodate for the plastering or the gyprock, right? So you had all that in the past, but now I've got videos and I've got photos. I'll dig them out. Hopefully, I'll try and dig them out for tomorrow, and our viewers can see. And this is in the developments that are now. This is all under the code, right? This is all under the NCC, and it's all approved. Where you've literally got thicker gyprock on either side. Effectively, it's meant to be fire-rated gyprock on either side. A frame in the middle. And insulation in between. So you can basically hear your neighbor farting in the lounge room next door when you're watching a movie or when you're having a meal, right? I mean, that's how bad it is, mate. And talk about punching through. Look, if you've got a strong piss, and you could literally put a you could definitely put a heavy object through the wall without any hassle whatsoever. And that is approved. That is approved. In fit for purpose dwelling under the NCC. And this is where where I say to a lot of people, this is why a lot of the new construction, you've got to be very, very wary, particularly if you're going to be buying a townhouse, or if you because it, usually they've got adjoining walls, party walls, or if you're going to be buying a duplex. I mean, some of these properties, like in the Shire and in the North, I mean, duplexes, they're already fetching you $2.5 million, and this is just the bottom of the pile, so to speak. But people are paying these sorts of money, and they don't realize what that they're not being built as your property, for example. But outside of that, there's also all the other issues that that you don't get to see, that it's just built on top of, on top of and all existing dwellings that have been there for decades, and they've just been absorbing a lot of wear and tear over decades, and no maintenance, and you're going to come unstuck. So this is what we say to our clients, to our people, our followers, our friends, our family. We just got to be careful what you buy. You've got to make sure that you do all your due diligence, which you and I just drum on about, every other day. Because if you're not doing it now, particularly when the stocks, the for sale properties on market are so low, and we're going to talk a bit more about that in comparison to 2022. You got to be you got to be careful, because you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to be throwing in another 10, 15% at the property after you thought you got a great deal.
Absolutely. I'll just tell you one more quick story before we get on with the rest of the show, and to underscore again that folks will be talking about this tomorrow on a live show at 8 p.m. Sydney. So Edwin will be joining me, and feel free to ask questions then. But in my property at Thurool, it had wooden floors, right? And what was interesting was when I was downstairs in the studio, any noise upstairs, anybody walking across those wooden floors, actually it sounded louder downstairs and upstairs because there was no insulation between the first floor and the ground floor. And so the whole issue of building for noise deadening and all of those things, as well as, of course, for you know, energy efficient insulation, none of that was actually in the property. Now, you know, this was a pretty nicely built property, but it still did not actually meet the standards. So whereas here, the property I've got has got proper you know, construction right the way through. I tell you though, the downside is Wi-Fi doesn't reach anywhere near as far because there's more stuff in the way. So there are swings and roundabouts, mate.
you can just go on and on, and
yeah.
But you just got to be careful. Just got to be careful what you buy and how you buy and what it is that you're looking for. It's got to fit your lifestyle. What it is that you wanted to do now and in the future. But look, because of that. As I've been saying, Martin, we told our viewers last week, you've got to get into Albo & Co real estate franchises and partners franchises because they are hot. I mean, they're hot topics now. Yeah, we said it last week, and now the mainstream are following. 2024, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, construction boom, left, right, and center. I mean, why else did I think Dan. And the man went over to China. I mean, he went over there to sign a new city that's going to be built in Victoria. I mean, this is it. I mean, you heard it first here on DFA, folks, on the Monday Evening Property Ranch. That's what it was there for. It's construction galore. It's gonna happen. Everything is geared for that. The immigration laws that the WeChat chatterers have been sharing with us are all pointing in. It all points to the same. Towards the same path and towards the same target, and that's construction boom 2024, rain, hail, or shine.
Yeah, well, it's protecting and supporting the buildings construction sector, despite the fact, I think we saw Alan Kohler did a piece last night on the ABC and showed that actually there was more property that had been approved and was being built than was needed. So he's arguing that the supply-demand discussion is actually being misplaced and misinterpreted. And, of course, it's the listing question rather than the supply question. But there was an interesting thing in your in your Twitter about the let them eat stones, or was it bricks, eh? I mean, what's this about?
So, this is what Dusty tells me, right? So I showed Dusty this. This new TikTok trend over in fad over in China, and basically street vendors are frying herbs and spices and herbs and some vegetables along with these river stones, they're dishing it out as what we call it, a TikTok meal. It says you can get put on TikTok and you get all likes. I mean, it's taken the world by storm, so I was chatting with the chatterers, right, and they're telling me that basically what this is isn't new, it's old. This is what the poor were doing decades ago in China. They were basically frying river stones with some herbs and spices and some vegetables and adding it on to the meal to the bit of rice in order to give it flavor, because that's all they had to eat. It was basically a poor person's meal, right? So so I started thinking about it. I watched this TikTok video and I was looking at it, and then I started thinking, shit, we're walking straight into this. This is what's going to happen in Australia. But then again, you and I spoke about it over a year ago. We said that people are going to be sitting on million-dollar homes, multi-million-dollar homes, unable to buy staple food for the family. But so I guess you in a way you're going to be eat the bricks and mortar. Because everything else is just becoming unaffordable. But look, in reality, all jokes aside, people are sitting right now are sitting in multi-million dollar homes, and probably sharing a bit of Lebanese bread with with a bit of lard, the good old lard, the leftover lard from frying some chops from a week ago, spreading it on a bread, on a piece of bread, and sharing it to make a meal. I mean, this is you can, it's. I know it sounds funny, and I'm not trying to be a jokester about it, but there's a lot of pain out there, Martin. There is a lot of pain. And this is just, as much as they put these things on TikTok, this is the reality of what people are actually going through, and it's a reflection of what the poor in China were doing. We're going to, and this is stuff that, our old mates many, many years ago, they're passed on now, that I used to talk to, the old diggers. They tell me that this is what they ate, a bit of bread with some lard on it, for lunch at school, and it's almost like we're walking into it. The big difference is that, like I said, people are going to be having these meals sitting in million-dollar homes.
Absolutely. No, it's very important. The old asset rich, cash flow poor story. But of course, the real story here is the inflationary pressures are building, continuing. The RBA put the rates up again, and more people are going to get into difficulty. But I keep saying, Edwin, and just to underscore, not everybody is equally impacted, right? So there are a proportion of people who have got right up against it. About half of those with mortgages are actually struggling to make those repayments. But there are a whole bunch of people who haven't got a mortgage. They own their property outright. They've still got savings. So we've got this very unequal situation. And the truth is that all of the monetary policy tightening, et cetera, is crushing a relatively small proportion of the total population. So if you're renting, if you're actually a recent mortgage purchaser, then you've got a real issue, whereas there are others who are doing fine. And that's the real problem we've got. So the whole rationale behind monetary policy, it looks to me as though what we're doing is we're hitting some of the population over the head. And as you say, that means that people are doing anything to do to get by, and we're going to see more of that. And of course, the WeChat chats are on the same page, right? So they're basically saying, well, there are things that we can do, right? Get the old ATM.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of we told you so, and it's and the discussions both from the local WeChat chatterers and the mainland Chinese chatterers, also with the group now that we're involved with with the Vietnamese Chinese chatterers, because they've got their own little group as well, is it's all about land, mate. It is all about land. It's all about land banking, and it's all about going further afield and buying land, for all sorts of different reasons. I mean, some have got syndicates now that are, and they're buying, hundreds of hectares, and they're planning on bringing in the little brothers and little sisters from China just to basically work on the land. I mean, this is it's not new. It's not new news. It's old news, but now it's, I guess, the amount of chatter that's out there, it's just brings it to front of mind how strong a demand that we're going to be facing. And the local chatterers are also saying, and because of what they are also, because of the various groups that they're involved with as well, they are saying that there's going to be a hell of a lot more money coming in. Chinese money, when us, people of Chinese background that aren't necessarily from mainland China, but that are residents of Singapore, Hong Kong, all parts of the world, because at the end of the day, Australia is looking very, very favourable to for a longevity of a lifestyle here in security in comparison to a lot of other countries. I mean, the Australia and Canada, as we've shared on the show before, are the two destinations of preference. So they can see a lot more money coming in, and they're both, the local chatterers are saying if you if the Aussie mindset is panicking over what's arrived now, this is just scratching the surface of what's to come, and they are looking into regional areas. They're looking at also at land banking, small parcels of land or homes, albeit that the rental to a lot of people, doesn't make sense. But at the end of the day, for them, it's not really about the rental yield as much as it is in security and something, putting the money where they feel it's going to be more secure long term than short and medium term.
Yeah, and that's what I meant about the ATM, you know. So basically, this is a long-term strategy for wealth creation, right? Wealth protection, wealth creation. And in terms of relativities, compared with many other Asian countries, Australia is seen as a very safe and secure environment and with plenty of upside. And so people are actually throwing large amounts of money in property or in land. And the idea is to capitalize on that and grow wealth. And that's what my point from earlier on is there. You know, you're seeing some parts of the economy really crushed, other parts are significant in terms of momentum and wealth creation. So we've got a very unequal story to tell.
Yeah, and look, I know it's sort of sad in jest, but there's a syndicate that's already formed that have been lobbying the Victorian government to create a big, basically a big Chinese community like we've never seen before. I mean, that's been on the cards for years, and it's just ramped up even more so now. All roads lead to construction, and all relationships lead to China. I guess one of the two or both. But look, and this is why article number one, Martin, is, last week we said, it was going to be we're looking at possible burn, but now let the games begin, and it's well and truly we're on the way, and the games have begun. This is it. I mean, the New South Wales developers get a bigger building and faster approval in exchange for affordable housing. You read that headline, you think, oh, gee, this is great, awesome, terrific, fantastic. But when you start reading the article and as to what the developers have been given, my God, this is insanity. This is insanity wrapped in a in the gift bag given to the developers by it's crazy stuff, Martin. I don't know what you thought of the article when you read it, but when I was reading through it, it just blew my mind. I know what they're going to do. The apartment build is just going to be shittier. They're going to be built. There's not going to be real thought in terms of planning and construction. As much as the government would like to think there will be, they're going to be getting extra 30% height ratios and floor space ratios, which just basically means more shit on less ground and more crap to deal with in the future for those poor bastards that are bought into these developments as first homes or as investment properties, and pity the tenants that are going to be living in these dog boxes that are just going to be falling to bits. Before I used to call them the $1 million ghettos, now I call them the multi-$1 million ghettos, because things are just going to get worse.
I agree. Well, it's interesting. I was listening to somebody up in Queensland talking about the government policy, and their reaction was, because they're from the building sector, this will save a number of builders, because what they've been doing is building a lot of high-rise without actually having demand for it. And suddenly, all of this is now massive extra demand for the stuff that they've built, and they'll be able to build a lot more and quicker. And of course, they've also diluted the approval processes and made it quicker. So this is all about supporting and saving the building industry. It's not really about solving the housing situation in any constructive long-term way. It is ultimately more of the same old, same old. The result will be shoddy high-rise, people being forced to live in it, poor quality that will deteriorate very quickly, and then we'll have more issues down the track. I mean, it's the same old playbook, unfortunately. We're nothing new here at all.
No, look, it's just various versions of Eiffel Tower. That's all it is. I mean, if you look at the background and the height restrictions, I mean, Eiffel Tower, you know, sits three levels above everything else in that area, built over an old marsh pit, so you got extra loads, extra weight, extra thing. And let's go a little bit closer to Parramatta, and I mean they've already got issues with digging two basements along Parramatta River, let alone digging four basements. I mean, this is crazy stuff. This is madness, absolute madness. And it's going to be, as I said, it's just going to be a dog's breakfast moving forward. Because and all you have to do is just guarantee that 15% of the apartments in the building are going to be set aside for affordable housing. And I mean, you can sell them as well. You can sell them to investors under that premise that they're earmarked for affordable housing, and that's it. But the affordable housing historically has a tenure anyway. It's crazy stuff. We told the people the money, if you want to get it, it's better than Bitcoin, is, you know, Albo and Co Real Estate Partners franchise. You know, get in it whilst it's hot. DM me, put your name down. we'll listen. It's better than Bitcoin, I'm telling you.
Absolutely, it is. And this is of course state sponsored, right? So you can literally. And the other interesting point, in the other example there, Victoria's biggest builder tips home boom in 2024 after sustainable home requirements delayed. So this is the other side of the coin. Not only are they actually reducing the approval processes and making funding flow for quote affordable housing unquote, but actually they're reducing standards even more. And so what we're seeing is essentially a continued dilution of construction quality standards. At the same time, they're just chucking more stuff up. I mean, these are ghettos that are going to be built now, and in 10 to 20 years time, it's going to be a massive issue.
Look, here's my prediction, Mark. Remember we talked about last week about those 3,600 blocks of land for sale in Victoria? Was it 3,600? I mean, they're just going to be half of those blocks, I reckon, are going to be filled with container homes. quick, easy to assemble, imported from China, straight to your backyard, and just assemble those kit homes. That's the future. That is the future of construction here in relation to home building. I can't see it in the other way. I put up a tweet about 6 months ago, I think it was, where I got wind from a big WeChat chatter / importer, in the building game, and they were already talking about bringing in kit homes. Effectively, you can just basically, that comes in the container, and you can just pull it apart, slide things, panels out, do this and that, and within 3 hours, pushing things out and assembling things that, all packed up in a 40-foot container. You've got yourself a neat three-bedroom kit home all parked in your block of land that you just plumb in and get the power in as well. So, but this is now, when I put that out, I put it out as a tweet saying, this is what I'm hearing. Is anybody else hearing the same? And lo and behold, one of our followers on DFA and also on our Twitter, basically DM'd me in private and said, as a matter of fact, we're involved with those discussions as well. So that is the future, Matt. That is the future. Kit homes on parcels of land, because if the cost of labor is exorbitant to date, and I can't see it getting any cheaper anytime soon, because the reduction in costs aren't being passed on to the end, to the consumer, right? The next best thing is really to bring in these kid homes, and they'll make them pass the standards one way or another. They'll just make the heights, they'll make them pass. They'll make them pass the national codes, and all for the sake of plugging the hole that both parties have created over the last 2.5 decades.
Absolutely. Well, the old saying, just add water, right? and then you got instant buildings. Yeah, exactly. And look, just on the reality check, it is worth just thinking about this also from the point of view of listings, right? If you go back a year, right, and take the Sydney region, nearly 19,000 properties were listed, right? 19,000, right? Today, it's a bit lower. In fact, it's a lot lower.
Yeah, look, and this is on the 27th of the 6th. We had 8,166 homes that I took a snapshot of that day. Currently, I mean, and now add to that to the fact that we're almost 20% less, 22-23% less homes for sale on market in Sydney, but add to that the demand that's out there at the moment due to immigration, due to everything else that the government's let loose, and you've got sheer mayhem out there on the at grassroots levels. It's some properties you just can't walk in. Yeah, and agents, this is the shitty thing is that you can't even make a private inspection because they've got so many, they're chasing so much inquiry and so many leads that to try and get an inspection, a private inspection. I mean, they just ain't. You're just a nobody at the moment as a purchaser. It's hard for a lot of home buyers to get private inspections because you can't see a home when you've got, or a property when you've got 30, 40 groups in there at the same time. What do you see? What you see is a sea of bodies, and it just makes the emotion gets going, and then at the auction you see triple the amount of people there and that you saw at the open for inspection, and away it goes, and so it's really not the environment is not favoring the buyers, and the agents are certainly not making it easier for buyers in terms of getting a better look see at the property before they attend the auctions. So, that's it at the moment. And when you look at those numbers, the numbers tell the story. And this is what we're saying to people. Be weary, be careful, stay frosty, and be tiresome when you're out there, looking for your dream home. And how many more weeks have we got? We've got about 5 or 6 weeks before spring. And that's going to be potentially, and hopefully it'll be a different story. Also, the other thing that we're hearing on the traps is that a lot of investors have been waiting for the end of financial year before they put the properties on the market as well, because they don't want to max out the capital gains tax on this side of the financial year, but after the 1st of July. So let's wait and see how the numbers track. But so far, the stories out there that I'm getting from the real estate agents that we're hearing from the WeChat chatterers and everybody else is that we will see more listings on market. Perhaps not as many as what a lot of people would like, but there's going to be certainly a lot more from the current numbers that we have.
Absolutely. And it's just worth highlighting that a bit of movement this week to last week, but still way down from where we were previously. Certainly, the data from my surveys are showing more property investors are still looking to list, and that's going to be over the next couple of months. Also, interestingly, Edwin, there are a number of renters in my surveys who are absolutely now deciding that they're going to buy, even with the higher interest rates, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because the costs of rent continue to climb, and it's uncontrollable for those renters. So they feel that actually moving to buy property, even at exorbitant prices, even with high interest rates, is a more secure route than actually renting, which is remarkable. But, you know, there's going to be a further drought of investment properties because more investors will be selling. I think it'll be very interesting. In a few weeks' time, with those higher interest rates beginning to hit, will we then start to see some people being forced to sell? And, you know, the delinquency rates are up a bit, but not dramatically. But the banks, of course, are doing absolutely everything they can to, quote, keep people in their homes, i.e., another way of interpreting that is to ensure that we actually can continue to receive interest into the future. So they, you know, like CBA has announced the 1% buffer rather than a 3% buffer for certain types of borrowers when they actually go to refinance. So extending the term loan, moving to interest only, all of those other tricks. And in the UK, of course, they've done precisely the same in the last few days as well. They're trying to actually help people through. But the question is, who are they really helping? You know, are they really helping homeowners, or are they just extending the pain? And are they really just securing their own balance sheets, securing their own income streams into the future? Because if you extend the term of the mortgage from, let's say, I don't know, 25 years to 35 years, what you're doing is you're almost doubling the amount of interest you're going to pay over the life of the mortgage. And that is a very, very significant impost on your income into the future. So effectively, the banks are allowing you to hedge into the future, but that you're hedging for them. You're hedging them because they don't need then to say that their loans are actually in default or at risk. They can then, you know, actually just say, well, our profits will continue to improve. When are we going to have a conversation about windfall tax profits on banks? We should be having that conversation now, because they are actually profiteering from this whole process. And, you know, in the context of lack of supply and everything else, this is another conversation that we should also be having, I think.
Oh, most definitely. And it's the rich are getting richer, and yeah, the poor are doing with, you know, less and less each day. It's just insanity just playing out. Yeah, it's just, well, all we can do, Martin, is just keep on bringing things to our viewers' attention, our followers' attention, and just showing them, and hopefully that they can take the bit of advice that we can give them, or bit of support and help that we can give them, and make better decisions. Because from where I see it, from where you see it, from an economic point of view, from what I see it, from construction and sales and the shenanigans that goes out is played out there in the real estate world, you really got to be clued up. You got to be informed more so now than ever before. Because otherwise, if you buy a lemon these days, it's costly. Because I fear to imagine how many people, bought into the delusion in 2021, 22, and now in this winter season as well, buying into the delusion of that, you know, they think that everything that shines is gold, but unfortunately it's not. And now, how many homes and apartments have I personally inspected, let alone my team, that, you know, we wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole unless we got it at the price that we wanted to get it because of the rectification work ongoing. But yet at the auctions that we've experienced and seen over the last 3 years, how much more money was thrown at it because of that fear of missing out. And this summer out, you just got to be sober and really, really be careful, be watchful, and be diligent as to what you see. Even from a rental point of view, Martin, you can't afford to be take on a rental position, get into a rental contract, and into a lease agreement for 12 months, and then forever having fights and arguments with landlords. People have just got no time. People are trying to make every bit of spare time that they have, trying to make a bit of extra money here and there with a side hustle in order to afford to put the kids through good education, to give them that the joys and the pleasures that we had growing up, and going to being a part of soccer teams and netball teams and cricket teams and so forth, enjoying the weekend sports and everything. I mean, a lot of these young kids are going without that because of the needs and the cost of living, that it's just so high. It's just shameful that both sides of government have allowed this great nation of ours to get to this point.
I agree. Well, it is definitely policy. It isn't just a happenstance. And, nobody really wants to tackle the critical core issues that we keep calling out. But we'll go on calling them out, Edwin. Just on that, on the Melbourne numbers, a little bit of movement week on week, but still well down from last year. No real, breakthrough in terms of what's going on. And in terms of the auctions, well, there's a little bit of activity, but interestingly, the auction numbers are still pretty low, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So again, I guess the question is, Martin, is if you're selling you're really, what do you buy? I mean, I've said all along, most of the people that sell, you generally want to buy in the same area as well, or within the vicinity, because of the lifestyles that they've led, and they want to continue to enjoy the relationships, the friendships, and everything else, that they've grown up with in that area. And other factors that we'll talk a little bit more in tomorrow's live rant is that whole thing of, if you sell, where do you go? I mean, there are a lot of questions. There are a lot of things that need to be discussed around that topic. And if you sell, now, and you're still on, you're still sitting on a low mortgage, in terms of interest rate, when you sell and then you buy and you still have to get a loan, well, you're walking into a higher rate. Obviously, it's going to hurt people that are upsizing more than those that are downsizing. But it's still money, and it's still looking at the longevity, as you say, in terms of lifestyle and what you end up with at the end in your older age, with so many uncertainties in our future, everybody's trying to squirrel away a bit of money, but all that money that's been squirreled away, it's just gone. It's just disappearing faster than what we can gather. So yeah, look, the auction numbers, again, we just put them up because people want to see the numbers, people want to see what's happening in terms of the auctions out there. But again, I don't really get excited about the percentages. When I look at the numbers, I just look at, for me, it's more of a reflection, and it's a reminder of the pain that the real estate industry, and let's not forget that there's 57 or so thousand certificate and license real estate agents in New South Wales, most of which sit in Sydney. 26, 27 or so in Sydney that are in a lot of pain because they're not really earning an income. So that's a story that I'm still yet to read about in mainstream media. They talk about auction clearance rates of 73% and high sixes and getting close to the 80s, but we don't seem to really get stories about the pain that the actual industry is in at the moment, because they can't make ends meet now, because the commissions aren't rolling in as you would see in a market where there's a lot of transactions. I mean, same time last year, I think we had closer to 800 properties going up for auction. So there's your numbers. That's a telling tale, not the auction clearance rates of high sevens.
Absolutely. Well, you can have a very low the volume of auctions, but because of the demand issues we've been speaking about, you can have quite high clearances. It doesn't really tell you anything. You know, these numbers are a little bit Mickey Mouse, but of course the mainstream media go to town on them, don't they? And just finally on the old rentals in Sydney, a little bit of movement, but frankly not a lot, just over 12,000 last week and this week too. So again, interesting monitoring of those numbers. And Edwin, we will be back tomorrow with a very, very interesting conversation. And I look forward to getting perhaps a few slides from you in terms of, recent examples where you've been digging around. And we can tell a bit of an interesting story about what it's like on the ground trying to actually separate sheep from goats.
Oh, look, definitely. I will put it together. I'll send it to you. I'll send some of this. Definitely will dig up those photos of the party wall in the duplex that I snuck into a building site and took photos of. I just got to find the drive where I downloaded them to. But look, they are interesting. I find it more satisfying. Looking at what's happening, when I do attend the open for inspections on the Saturdays and that, or the Wednesdays, everybody else is looking, as I said, looking at the new shiny bench tops, whereas I'm tapping away underneath the house or everywhere else. At times I must say, Mark, I do get up to some shenanigans when there's a group around, and I'll start tapping away and looking, making videos and commentary. I'm in the bathroom in the shower recess areas. Not that I'm interested in the property. It's just had some interest in the property, but after if I'm not going to go back to it again, I just pull out the phone and just videotape shit and just make sure that everybody else that is within an earshot can hear it, and then they start sort of raising their eyebrows as well.
I know. Well, the old trick, you tap and they go, "Ooh, that doesn't sound good," whilst other people are walking around. It's amazing how many people take attention. So it's an interesting dynamic. And as you say, if there are a lot of people there all trying to sort of look over each other and sort of, trying to actually figure out who's going to try and compete with them at the auction, have to have somebody else coming around saying, "Oh, no, what about this? Oh, dear, don't like that much." Bit of counterpoint and balance, right?
Yeah, I'll leave you with this one. It was a risk apartment. There would have been at least eight or nine people in the room, right, in the main bedroom I was looking at. And, everyone looks down. They're looking down or at eye level. So I got the torch out and I started pointing up at the ceiling, open the building and start looking away. And in the corner, the corner of my eye, I look, they're all looking up as well.
Yeah, there was a film called Don't Look Up, right? Well, the trick is look up, look down, look in places that you probably wouldn't normally look, because that's where you'll find a lot of the real truth about a property. Edwin, thanks very much for that. Look forward to tomorrow, 8 p.m. Sydney time, and we'll take the conversation further. We'll hope you don't get blown away in the meantime.
Look, if we do, we'll do a live feed. I'm hooked up to Elon Musk's internet, so I can take that dish with me wherever I get flown off to.
Very good. Okay, take care, Edwin. Thanks very much. See you tomorrow. Cheers.